Good morning, Santa Fe, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at KSFR. We're also podcasting. The website is santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show any time of day. Thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services, you can also check out our archived shows going back to almost the beginning of the year. And you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Don't forget, we're moving up the dial to 101.1 FM. That is our new frequency, so readjust your radios if you haven't already. Later on in the show, Diane Granito will be here talking about the Heart Gallery, and Robert Knott will be here, as he is every Friday, speaking of the arts. Right now, I'd like to welcome Dan Barone. He is a professor in the Department of Psychology at Ben-Gurion University in Israel, and he's the co-director of the Peace Research Institute in the Middle East, PRIME, and he will be speaking on Sunday, the 26th of August, this Sunday, at Temple Beth Shalom at 5 o'clock. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
It's just great to have you here. You're doing very interesting work. Peace research. You're a psychologist. Are you doing actual psychological research into the phenomenon of peace and of course, conflict?
Yeah. I think that people sometimes have their naive ideas about what psychologists do, and psychologists do many different things. They start from neuro research to working with people who need help. My field is basically in social psychology and clinical, or combination of clinical and social psychology, and to try to see how we can use our psychological knowledge, for example, to advance peace processes in areas of conflict. And we feel that people in areas of conflict, aside from the top-down of political arrangements, they need bottom-up processes of how to manage the situation of the enemy of yesterday can become your partner of tomorrow.
So what are the mechanisms by which that can happen? Because usually your enemy of yesterday is your grudge that goes, you know, for a lifetime or for years.
I think there exactly we come in, because many people have very naive ideas that you can just make a peace arrangement and find the financial arrangement for the parties who suffered till now, and then the situation will change. And we know that the change will happen much slower, because you will have to work with the people and to try to change their frame of thinking and feelings, so that they can adapt to the new situation. And there we try to intervene and to see if we could, for example, to bring them into dialogue, to share their life stories. That's one of the things that I'm doing in my work. Or in our specific case, Palestinian-Israeli conflict, which is such a long, what we call intractable conflict. We know that even much more than patience is needed than that. So what I brought you here today, for example, is an example of a book, that school textbook that we develop, where the children should learn not only their own historical narrative, the one that they are used to, but also the historical narrative from the perspective of the other side, and because we don't believe that there will be a bridging narrative for the time being.
So when you put this into practice and people are telling their life story and listening to the not only the life story, but the historical narrative of the other side and their own side. What kind of people are you doing this with? School children, adults, teachers, soldiers?
Yeah, we chose to do it together with teachers, because in our perception, my Palestinian colleague, Professor Sami Adwan, he is an educator. He works with teachers. And I brought the psychological knowledge, and the combination of the two, we decided to start to work with teachers. And the teachers were the one who created these texts. So they became not only consumers of knowledge, which they usually are, but they were creators of knowledge. So we are talking in a way of a educational reform. After that, they are developing now a teacher guide, where they use this material, and they, on the website, exchange ideas with each other how to use it to implement the classroom, because the difficulties are tremendous. To move with children from what they are used to learn one history, but now to have to learn two different perspectives about the history.
When you have these two different perspectives on history, do you find people arguing about which one is the true one?
That is what usually the situation. I mean, usually when young Israelis and Palestinians meet, what they will do, that they will say, my perspective are facts and the other one is propaganda, or my is morally superior, their is morally
and
inferior.
Each side will say that.
Each side will say that. And that is a typical situation. What we changed here is that you have your own narrative. It's there. But you have to also to accept that there's another way of thinking, of way of feeling about these events. So the events are the same. The Balfour Declaration of 1917, it happened. But in the Israeli-Jewish side, we see it as the first time that the international community recognized the need for a Jewish home in Palestine. For Palestinians, it's the first time the international community ignored their aspirations. So that will not change even when a Palestinian state will be established. And actually, therefore, we think that this is one of the ways, and maybe it's a necessary, not a sufficient step, for respecting the other and actually to humanize the other. And that's what we see our work. Our work is in the frame of how to actually humanize the other in situations where the violence and the long-term conflict dehumanize the other.
We're talking to Dan Bar-On. He is a professor in the Department of Psychology at Ben-Gurion University and will be on Sunday evening at 5 o'clock at Temple Beth Shalom talking about his work. There is an interesting story about your Palestinian colleague who was a very angry man, and then I guess he was in prison and he heard two Israeli soldiers arguing about whether they should make him sign a document in Hebrew that they knew he wouldn't understand. And it was the first time he'd heard an Israeli person defending his rights.
Yeah. He was an Israeli. During the first Intifada, he was imprisoned in the Israeli jail because he belonged to the Fatah movement, which was at that time not accepted by Israelis. And during that time, as he told it at Newsweek, he was asked to sign the paper which was given to him in Hebrew about why he is imprisoned. And he said, I can't read it, and so I can't sign it. And actually, one of the soldiers said, I don't accept it. You have to sign it because that's what the formality said. And the other soldiers say to he is right. I mean, how can he sign something that he can't read? So we have translated for him.
So actually, and so that was a huge step in his life.
Yeah, because before that, when he studied in his PhD studies at the University of California, when he would enter into a classroom where there was an Israeli, he would step out. He didn't want to meet any Israeli. Because for him at that time, all the Israeli Jews were one thing and they were the enemy.
Well, that is the point, namely humanizing the enemy or humanizing everybody and seeing the people you come across as individuals. I imagine the work that you're talking about with having parallel historical narratives and teaching that is that much more effective if you have not just black and white workbook in schools, but the people actually telling the stories.
Yeah, that is clearly part of that. I mean, when we worked with the teachers, part of the work was every meeting that we had. And you have to understand that we met at a very difficult time. There was violence before the meeting and after the meeting. And so we used to start with a round where everyone would tell his own story or what happened since the last meeting. And these rounds of sharing their own stories was essential part of the work, because then there was a task, and that was also important. But the combination of relating to each other as people and to allowing people to tell their experiences is a very important part of this work. And we think that they also have to do with their students. The students can interview people in their own homes, from parents' generation or grandparents' generation, and then they hear the stories of these parents from the other side, and they share these stories. And that is part of that work of humanizing the other.
What is the common language?
It's a very good point. In Israel, when we work with Israeli Jews and Israeli Arabs, usually we talk Hebrew. And that's part of the problem, because for the Arabs, that already creates some estrangement. When we work with our Palestinian colleagues from the West Bank, we talk in English because that is actually our common language. And every material that we create, we translate then into Hebrew, into Arabic, and to English. So we have all the time to do this translation work. And actually, each teacher then only sees his material in their own language, which they will teach in the school class. And the work is done, what to take out of these texts, so that the other side will not be insulted or will not be humiliated. And at the beginning, sometimes they don't know that this expression was humiliating the other side. And only through their work do they find that out.
So this is, I would think, very much transformative work for the people who are involved in it.
Yeah. I mean, the teachers work on that already 5 years. And at the beginning, we didn't think that they will be involved in it for 5 years. And for us, it was one of the surprises how they became committed. One of the teachers said, "This work is actually the only thing that's giving me hope during this time, because the situation is so difficult on the ground that only this kind of work is giving me some hope that at some point in the future things will be different."
Has this work ever been taken into government?
It's a very good question. I mean, first of all, we had to deal with negative reaction. For example, our government, a few years ago, our Ministry of Education, she wrote a letter to the teachers. She doesn't allow them to teach this material. And her argument was, at this difficult time, our children should not be exposed to the narrative of the other, because it may make them uncertain about their own narrative. So this was an argument of the Ministry of Education.
Oh, my goodness.
And our teachers found ways to, in spite of this letter, to continue. So we had times where the ministries were very negative in their approach. But right now, we have a different approach. In our ministry, for example, is now the ministry decided a few weeks ago that 1948 in Israeli Jewish and in Israeli Arab schools will be taught also that it was a catastrophe for the Palestinians. That is a new step. Not only that it was the war of independence for the Israeli Jews, but it was also the catastrophe for the Israeli Palestinians. And so there is some change on the ministry. I know that, for example, my Palestinian colleague just met recently with a new Palestinian Minister of Education. So I think we may be moving into a situation where the ministries will be able to take over to distribute this material. And then actually prime, we would like to continue to do the teacher training and the evaluation where we have our expertise in, but the distribution definitely will be happy that the ministry will take that over.
Have you, in your capacity as professor of psychology, studied the effect of this work on the students?
We do. This is part of the evaluation work. We follow up. For example, two of my graduate students, their master thesis, one Jewish Israeli and one Palestinian Israeli, did their master thesis by testing these booklets in the classrooms and analyzing the reactions of the pupils. And their analysis shows how difficult actually for the students at the beginning. And you can't do it just by two-hour lessons. You have to do it a longer program till the pupils really get to understand what two-narrative approach is about. It's interesting also that pupils, actually, when you ask them about their daily life, they have many situations where they live in a multiple narrative situations. They know that their father and mother have different opinions, that their siblings or their friends. So in a daily life, they live in multiple. But when they have to translate it into conflict situations where they are emotionally involved and their parents and the teachers tell them other things, then it starts to become more difficult, and there the work has to be done on a long-term basis.
We're talking to Dan Barone, who will be speaking at 5 o'clock on Sunday at Temple Beth Shalom. I would think that one of the things that would come out is the great similarities, cultural, temperamental, culinary, geographical, that Israelis and Palestinians actually have. I mean, I would think that they would have far more in common with each other than with somebody from Italy or the United States. Or
I think that's very true on the deeper level. That is very true. But that has been so much manipulated to turn them one against the other. And we are suffering from the results of that manipulation, how that has been done by the world politic, by regional politic. So on the surface, they see themselves as very alien to that. And they see themselves coming from different cultures and are in different asymmetrical power relations. So all this is making difficult to reach the deeper level. But you're right that once we meet, for example, when I got to know Sami personally, we easily found a common language, which is an emotional, where it was not difficult for us to feel the things on the same level, but it needed a lot of trust building because that was destroyed. I mean, the trust has been destroyed between the two people, and that you have to rebuild because once you reach that level, you find that Muslims and Jews have many common and had also in the past very good periods of living with each other. But all what happened between in the last century destroyed a lot of that trust, and you have actually to find ways to rebuild that trust.
How did you start doing this work? How did you get into this work yourself? Tell us a little about your own narrative.
I worked for many years in Israel with families of Holocaust survivors, working on the after effects of the Holocaust in second and third generation in Israel. And as a result of that work, I started in the mid-80s to conduct interviews in Germany with the children of the Nazi perpetrators. And that was, at that time, a pioneering work because no one ever tried to talk with the children of the Nazi perpetrators.
I mean, even I would think finding them and getting them to talk would be a big job.
That was a fascinating process. I mean, people would say, we don't know anyone, but after some time they would say, you know, maybe you should talk with a professor from the other side of the corridor. She might be interesting for you. And so you slowly, I got to know these people, and I interviewed over 3 years about 90 people, and about half of them were children of perpetrators who personally participated in the killing of Jews and other minorities at the Nazi era, during the Nazi era. And as a result, my interviews, a small group of my interviewees started a self-help group, a German self-help group, which worked for 4 years between 88 and 92. And in 92, I think I was not ready beforehand. I asked them, would you be willing to meet a group now of children of Holocaust survivors, Jewish Holocaust survivors?
So these are children of German Nazi perpetrators and children of Holocaust survivors from Israel.
From Israel and from the United States. And they met for the first time in June 1992, and they continued to meet from that summer every year for a week till 2007.
And were you always there with them?
Yeah,
witnessing?
I was always there.
What was it like? What happened?
What happened, they also started quite intuitively to share their life stories, to get to know each other. And what they found out during the sharing was, for them, unbelievable how close they felt about the after effects of the Holocaust on both sides. I mean, both sides met silence at home. The parents did not talk of what they did or on the German side or what they went through on the Jewish side. And so the content of the silence was different, but the effects of the silence on the children was similar. I call that the double wall, where the parents build a wall on their side and the children build a wall along the... And then when one side wants to open a window, they usually meet the wall from the other side.
Right.
So there are very few instances where we found a window being opened in both walls.
That's an incredible image.
Yeah, and it helped me a lot to understand what was happening. So what they found out, actually, that they're struggling in both societies with a lot of difficulties because they feel estranged in their own society. They feel that their roots have been rotten or that they have no roots at the Jewish side. They had to struggle with death in their daily life. So I think that one of the things that these encounters helped them to see that they have actually many things that they can understand each other better than other people in their own society who don't belong to this category.
And I imagine the work was, again, very transformative for all of the people involved in it.
Yeah, that actually is an example where the historical political process and the work in the group, they converged at some point. At the beginning, the societies looked upon this experiment as very suspiciously, but with the time, the societies, both the German and the Jewish, became much more receptive to be open to this. In the Israeli-Palestinians, I can't yet say that. I mean, we are still moving in a direction where the situation on the ground is moving almost in the opposite direction. So there we can't see yet this kind of convergence, but I hope that the political and the situation on the ground will change as well, so that at some point our work will converge also with the political top-down processes.
Well, there's a great deal more to talk about, but unfortunately it's time to go.
Okay.
It's wonderful to have you here, and thank you for the incredible work you do. Dan Barone is the professor in the Department of Psychology at Ben-Gurion University in Israel, and will be speaking at 5 o'clock at Temple Beth Shalom on Sunday, this coming Sunday, the 26th of August. For more information, you can call 820-1375. Again, Dan Barone, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a break right now. Please stay tuned to KSFR.
The Southwest Pickers present the 33rd Annual Santa Fe Traditional and Bluegrass Music Festival at the Santa Fe County Fairgrounds, Friday, August 24th at 6 p.m. through Sunday the 26th. Outstanding national, regional, and local bands such as David Peterson in 1946, Uncle Henry's Favorites, Bayou Seco, Fast Pesos, Adobe Brothers, Elliott's Ramblers, and Santa Fe's Higher Ground will be performing. For tickets, go to southwestpickers.com. This message sponsored by Southwest Pickers, a tax-exempt organization.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by Garcia Street Books and their owners, Effa and Edward Borens, celebrating more than 30 years as booksellers. Located at 376 Garcia Street, where an exhibition of works on paper by internationally acclaimed Santa Fe artist James Havard, in honor of the publication of the deluxe limited edition of the book James Havard, runs through September 3rd. More information at 986-0151 or garciastreetbooks.com.
The Georgia O'Keeffe Museum presents a new tandem exhibition of paintings and photographs. Circling Around Abstraction explores O'Keeffe's use of circular and spiral motifs over her seven-decade career. Georgia O'Keeffe Illuminated, photographs by Tony Vaccaro, reveals the private O'Keeffe in 27 photographs taken over a week in 1960. For more information, visit o'keeffemuseum.org or call 946-1000. This message sponsored by the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum, a tax-exempt organization.
I'd like now to welcome Diane Granito. She is with the Children's Youth and Family Department, and she's an adoption specialist and has created an amazing thing. We've talked about it before on the Radio Cafe, but not for quite a while, called the Heart Gallery. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
It's good to have you back. And for those who've never heard of this, tell us what the Heart Gallery is.
Well, we have a lot of children, both here in New Mexico and all around the country, who have come into the foster care system and can never go back home again. And the Heart Gallery was created as a way of letting people know about those children in a unique way. Talented photographers donate their time and create wonderful portraits. You know, they're not your run-of-the-mill pictures, and they actually capture a little bit of the personality and spirit of the kids. And they do manage to touch the hearts of people that are looking at them, and a lot of times the people will move to adopt or inquire about fostering.
And so this idea to get professional photographers to take pictures of these children, where did that come from? Were you looking into the faces of some of these foster kids and seeing?
Well, actually, during my job interview for a recruitment position with CYFD, somebody asked me, what do you think about getting better pictures of the kids? And I was looking at these mug shots and thinking, oh, my God, we need better pictures of these kids. And the idea came from an adoptive mom and photographer here in Santa Fe, Kathy Mayer Callanan. And then when I started my job, it was natural for me to want to take it a step further and get the pictures out to the public. CYFD thought, you know, why should we have these beautiful portraits if we're just going to, you know, hide them away. And we approached the Gerald Peters Gallery and had our first opening, and we had 1,200 people attend and place six children that first night. So we knew we were onto something.
And that's a huge event. I mean, placing six children in one day, I bet that doesn't happen every day.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But we have placed sibling groups of five through the Heart Gallery just based on someone seeing their portrait. And it also just raises awareness about these kids. Like Rosemary Zebart wrote a beautiful article in Parade magazine. There was a media explosion around it. You know, 2020 today, People Parade ended up doing two articles.
Publicity you'd kill for.
Yes, we did the hat trick, which is, you know, People Today and New York Times in 1 week. That's what the celebrities call the hat trick.
People Today and the New York Times in one week. Good heavens.
Yeah, and so now we have these wonderful child advocates all over the country who are putting together their own heart galleries. It's in 46 states now, and 25 of these groups will be coming in from around the country this weekend as we launch Heart Gallery of America. We're actually going to have a conference to share ideas and success stories and, you know, that kind of thing. So we're really excited to launch this national nonprofit, which will support all the groups.
And the point basically underlying all of this is that there are a lot of children in the foster care system who are not infants and toddlers, who are a little bit older, elementary
exactly.
school age and teenagers. And these people are going through a very difficult system. They don't have one stable home. They need one stable home. And this is
exactly.
about getting them the love and care that they need.
Right. What we all kind of take for granted, which is, you know, a unconditional love and that stability that's so important for children to actually reach their full potential and blossom. And I've seen amazing things when these older children who had been kind of lost, were adopted and have just turned around and at top of their class. One boy who was adopted through one of our events, CYD events last October, already is a straight-A student with his new dad and going to Sandia Prep. You know, something that never would have happened if he'd been in foster care and not had this dad. He's 12 years old, and now he has a future.
So just tell us briefly what's happening this weekend and how people can find out more information.
Well, we're having a wonderful celebration on the plaza from 2 to 5. Our MC, Steve Stucker, is going to be here from KOB-TV. And besides wonderful entertainment to just celebrate adoption, the Tizuki Pueblo Children Dancers, Maria Benitez Next Generation, and Bayo Folklorico, and mariachis. We're going to have some speakers. And my friend Sherry Hersey from Home Improvement, who's actually more known for her singing and is producing a children's show about a magical foster home lighthouse, is going to come and sing for us. The entertainment is going to be pretty much before and after the 3 to 4 o'clock speakers. So if you're interested in just coming out and having a good time and celebrating with us, that would be great. And this is all, of course, geared around an actual Heart Gallery opening, which is, thanks to the merchants in town, taking place all over town. As you walk around Santa Fe and you look in the window of Overland or Dressman's or Golair, you're going to see portraits of our children and be able to pick up an informational piece designed by our good friend Tony D'Agostino beautifully to explain about adoption and the Heart Gallery. Then from 6 to 8, we're throwing a party for Santa Fe at the Gerald Peters Gallery. He's been wonderful, and he has actually been instrumental in founding a new foundation here in New Mexico, Heart Gallery of New Mexico Foundation. We have he's on the board, the First Lady, Randy Travis, and so they've been wonderful, and we're going to throw a big party to thank Santa Fe, free hors d'oeuvres from all the best places in town.
Free hors d'oeuvres?
Yes, and drinks, and wonderful music.
When and where is that again?
6 to 8.
Tomorrow? tonight.
Yeah, tomorrow night. So following the more public one, we're going to be welcoming these delegates from around the country who've been working so hard. I mean, New York City's just opened on Times Square. They were up on the Astro screen.
Heavens.
So we want to celebrate all that. And this is all free. Everything's free. We're going to have activities for kids on the plaza, too, off the stage. Clan Tinker, the exotic rainforest animals, face painting. So, you know, bring the kids, come celebrate the Heart Gallery, come see the beautiful portraits in the store windows, and
we'll see
you
there.
Adopting.
And think about adopting.
And if you want to call 800-432-2075, you can find out about adopting. If you want to find out about the event, my number is 476-1045.
476-1045.
Right.
Diane Granito from the Children, Youth, and Families Department, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a break right now. Robert Knott is on deck. Stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's just smacking his lips and ready to go.
Delicious.
Welcome.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I showed up here last week and you weren't here. Where'd you go? Fine thing. Here I come up and you got Desiree Mays on the show doing the opera.
It was a rerun. I was away.
I know. And those reruns never include me. What's that all about?
Well, you're here now.
But you watch the reruns of the Brady Bunch. You always see Marcia and Jan. You don't like suddenly not see a character.
Well, we could play reruns of events that are long past. That would be fun.
All right. You made your point. The summer's winding down, and so it's your last couple of chances to go see some opera up at the opera. They're doing La Boheme and a couple other shows. 986-5900. The Pasatiempo counter has a listing of everything happening to the best of our ability. And you're right, sometimes you and I come on the show and we forget to talk about movies, so I thought we'd start out by talking movies and work our way backwards.
That sounds great.
Good. Go ahead. Pick one.
No, you.
Okay. Well, Living Maid is playing at the screen over at the College of Santa Fe. And our reviewer, Jonathan Richards, thought it was pretty darn good. He also liked to interview Steve Buscemi's picture. He directed and acted in it about a serious journalist who gets stuck assigned, you know, writing a story on like a pop idol, and they sort of connect to each other. That's at DeVargas.
Do you ever connect with your interview subjects?
No, most of the time they want me to leave as soon as possible. Of course I connect. I'm very good at that stuff. Very good. I don't connect like that, like with Sienna Miller. I'm not like, you know, I hope nobody calls up and says, you know, that I did anything improper on an interview. Sometimes I play with the dogs and stuff. They have dogs. Like, the dogs come out, and they're always, like, afraid, like, uh-oh, he's a new visitor, and here's the dogs. But I'm always, like, I get on my, I'm like, puppies, how are you?
You're a dog person.
I am. So
that's
if they're
a dog
thing. Person, it helps out. Plus, I'm a kitty cat person. I'm not a reptile person. I went out with this girl once, and I went over to her house on the first date, and I knew she said to me, wait here while I go change. And she went to, we were going to go out, so she was, of course, running late.
And the boa constrictor comes.
It wasn't a boa constrictor. I knew something was staring at me, and up on her drapes was this huge, like, 4-foot-long iguana. She had a pet iguana.
So you knew that relationship wasn't going anywhere.
That didn't go anywhere fast. Reptiles and me, I mean, forget it. So if I show up at somebody's house for an interview and there's an alligator, I'm leaving. Bean, Rowan Atkinson.
I love Rowan Atkinson.
It's very sweet. I saw a preview last week in Albuquerque. It opens today, and it's really a sweet movie. It's got some good humor. It's not too shticky. There's a little bit of shtick in the beginning.
Mr. Bean.
That's playing at Regal. And there's other stuff still running, like Underdog in the Simpsons movie and the comedy Superbad. So there's a lot of movies out there. Go see some movies. CCA is still running some of the Native Cinema Showcase pictures that went over well, like Water Flowing Together. But what else can we talk about? Well, we got the 33rd Annual Santa Fe Traditional and Bluegrass Music Fest. I don't know why I'm talking like I'm from Tennessee, but anyway, that's opening up this weekend. It's at the Santa Fe County Fairgrounds, which are on Rodeo Road. You can buy a daily pass for one day or a three-day pass for 3 days, which I know you're going to say.
The math is really tricky on that one, Robert.
That's it. Take a week off. I come back, and this is what I get. Anyway, there's a story in Pasatiempo by David Prince on page 22, if you want to read about that. The Santa Fe Fiesta Melodrama, which is our cover story today on Pasatiempo. A foul flim-flam filches fiestas to turn town into tourist trap, a.k.a. Return of the Masked Mariachi. Anyway, that opens tonight at 8 o'clock at the Santa Fe Playhouse. 988-4262. See my cover story in today's Pasatiempo. Gracias a la vida, la poetisas amigas is una production de Teatro Parguas. It's a performance based on the lives and works of 5 Latin American female poets from early 20th century. It's El Museo Cultural, 473 0143. It runs this weekend, then they skip a weekend, then it comes back like Labor Day / Fiesta weekend. So.
And I'm going to have them on the air the week before the second weekend.
I saw about 30 minutes of rehearsal, and it looked really exciting. I didn't see the whole thing. There's no script. But
are they reading in both Spanish and English?
Yes, and it's very much 50-50. It's not one of those token, let's throw in a few words of Spanish. So they mix it up pretty well. Jack and Jill, an adult romantic comedy, continues to run at the Armory for the Arts. I have not yet been able to see it. I'm sorry it's been my schedule, seriously. But Flash in the Pan Productions, it's a comedy about marriage and other stuff. 8 p.m. tonight, Armory for the Arts Theater, 984-1370. That runs through the weekend. Maria Benitez is still running if you want to go up and see her at the Lodge at Santa Fe, 750 North St. Francis Drive. You've probably heard the commercial about the lecture tonight at 5:30 by Peter LaCovera. And he's going to be talking about the great discoveries from ancient Egypt, which is tied in with the Museum of New Mexico's upcoming exhibit based on stuff that Sir William Matthews Flinders Petrie found back in the 20s and 30s and 40s. Some people say he's the guy that they based the character of Indiana Jones on, because like he would climb down ropes into tombs and be snakes and stuff. But I don't think Nazis chased him, and I don't think like he went into a tomb where like the skeletons came to life. Ah, remember that scene with Karen Allen and she got scared? And I don't think he hung off a truck and fought like soldiers and stuff like that. But I'm not positive of the whole story.
We gotta get you on TV, because the way your face lights up when you talk about stuff like that is just infinitely cute.
Did you see that show on Sasquatch last night?
No.
Yeah, there goes that.
The Femalition Derby, a cabaret night featuring queer femmes, Santa Fe and Albuquerque. Oh, shoot, it was at Santa Fe last night, tonight in Albuquerque. Oh, well, Chemo Theater. Anyway.
Okay, you want to drive to Chemo? Go. Food, art, and adobe, uniquely New Mexico, is a themed weekend out at El Rancho de las Golondrinas on Los Pinos Road, south of town, near the old downs. Food, balloon rides, adobe building demonstrations. The balloon rides, they tie the balloon to the ground so you don't fly off. So that looks like fun. It's really inexpensive. We can't mention prices on your community radio station, KSFR 90.7, and also
101.1.
101.1.
That's our new frequency.
That explains it. I turned on one. Oh, now I know. I had 101.5 on, and they were playing Billy Idol, and I thought you guys had gone really punk. That's funny. Okay, now I know. 101.1. What else was I going to talk about?
Oh. How about... Go ahead.
Zona Fest, una dia de familia. It's a family celebration with live animals, which is a lot more fun than going to see dead animals. Juggling, puppets, face painting, arts and crafts, storytelling, live music, and, I love this, quote, more. I love that whenever people say, and more.
And much, much more.
2 to 7 p.m. on Saturday. Where? 6000 Valentine Way, which is the corner of County Club Drive and Jaguar Drive. So it's down off Sirius Road there. Let me give you a phone number. It's free. 474-6859. I drink water.
But wait, there's more. Iraq Veterans Against the War present a workshop called Truth in Recruiting at St. Bede's Episcopal Church at 1601 South St. Francis Drive. That's today at 7 o'clock in the evening. Learn about the state of recruiting for the U.S. military, et cetera, et cetera. Featuring Adam Kokesh, who is from the U.S. Marine Corps, who was in Fallujah. Much more to say about this, but if you want more information, you can call the following number. Let's see. You can go to... I don't know.
Uh-huh.
There's no number on here. Okay, you can go to St. Bede's Episcopal Church tonight at 7 o'clock.
And sorry, that's going to lead to another lecture, which you and I do sometimes.
Put your number on
the
thing.
Yeah, press releases. Get everything right. You guys forget stuff a lot, and I think the world of all of you, but get it right, because then we can get it right.
Well, the website is... IVAW.org, Iraq Veterans Against War.
Like 25 years ago when I went to be recruited, the guy told me like I'd be in Monterey. He said, you're going to be playing golf. The ocean's going to be there. The women are going to be chasing you. I ended up in San Antonio, Texas, and I was chasing the women.
That reminds me of a joke.
Can you tell it?
No.
Okay, tacos, tequila, and croquet. What a combination. Intermezzo, Santa Fe Opera. This is their annual party, and they have badminton. Go figure. Tacos, tequila, and croquet, and half badminton. Oh, well. The racket must have gone to their head.
Anyway, that must be a St. John's thing.
Well, it's Santa Fe Opera. It's 3 to 7 p.m. on Sunday. You head up there and you play some croquet. 986-5900. It's a little pricey by my standards, but you can go. I have to mention Emily Abink, A-B-B-I-N-K, because Craig Smith, Paso Tempo writer, did a really good Q&A with her today in Paso Tempo. She wrote a book called New Mexico's Palace of the Governors, History of an American Treasure. And quite naturally, she's going to be doing a book signing at the Palace of the Governors, 1 to 3 p.m. or 1 to 3:30 p.m. on Sunday. You enter through the Blue Gate at Palace in Lincoln, and it's free. Call 476-5100, and I'm pretty sure on Sunday, if you're a New Mexico resident, you can go to the Palace of the Governors free. You can go to the state museums in Santa Fe free. And I always double-check this stuff, and then I kind of forget it, but I think I'm right.
Hey, there's a movie. This is a Warehouse 21 event on this coming Sunday called Towncraft. It's a film about the underground music scene in Little Rock, Arkansas over the last 20 years. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
What do you know? It's at the former Jean Cocteau Cinema, the New Mexico Film Museum, at 7 o'clock on Sunday.
Rob DeWalt wrote a really good music column on it today. It's Paso Tempo.
Ah.
I can't help it. We do a lot of stuff right. Sometimes we don't.
You
sorry.
Do.
Like, we didn't get in the, I'm really sorry, in the calendar, we didn't get the Heart Gallery stuff. But that's this weekend. You had them on.
Yep.
And just for people that didn't tune in earlier, the information is that they are going to be doing this thing on the plaza on Saturday. And I'm looking all over for the information, and I'm trying to stall. While you're waiting, I'm going to do some puppet shadowy. I put some socks on my hands. Here it is. Heart Gallery Celebration on the Plaza. And KOB TV's Steve Stucker, who I think is terrific, is going to be on hand, as is Sherry Hersey of the TV show Home Improvement. And they're going to have people like from Ballet Folklorico and Tsuki Pueblo.
We talked about this already at length. So just quickly, time, place.
It's Saturday on the plaza from 2 to 5.
And then at 5 o'clock, there's an opening.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you.
No, I'm sorry.
I don't have it in front of me. Is it the Peters Gallery?
I'm just chagrined as well as chastised.
No.
It's at the Peters Gallery, yeah, Paseo de Peralta. Anyway, here's a number, 476-1045.
And Wednesday of next week, the 29th of August, the Santa Fe Fashion Designers is having an open house from 5 to 7 in room 700, which is the Fashion Lab at the Santa Fe Community College.
Excellent, excellent. Chopped, chromed, and customized.
Yes.
That's a new show opening at the new Munoz Waxman Gallery at the Center for Contemporary Arts, 1050 Old Pecos Trail. And basically, it's about hot cars and hotter chicks. There's more to it. Paul Weideman did a piece on it in today's post. It's got a little more weight to it. But there's going to be a panel discussion at 3:30 Saturday, a grand opening 5 p.m. And this is the new gallery space at the CCA as they continue to renovate that property, which has been around, belonged to the military in the 30s and 40s. And now CCA is really helping to build it up into a arts complex. And so this is one step in that direction. So it looks like a really terrific show with work by a lot of people, Alex Harris, Luis Jimenez, Carol Sarkisian. Go check it out.
Hey, the movie Control Room is screening at Progressive Movie Night, 7 o'clock on Tuesday, August 28th, next week, at the Film Center at right on St. Michael's Drive. And it's about Al Jazeera. It's actually a movie about the media and about Al Jazeera in particular. I saw it when it came out, and it's quite an interesting film.
Pretty cool. There's a lot of art openings tonight. I'll mention three or four just to get you going. Crossroads Contemporary has a sculpture by Mark Yale Harris. Title is Crush, 5 to 7 p.m. They're at 203 Canyon Road. If you're going up Canyon Road, Delgado Street Galleries, six or seven of them, are banding together for Discover Delgado Street. And they're doing this the last Friday of every month. And Elizabeth Cook Romero wrote a piece in it, today's PASA. So there's openings tonight from 5 to 8 at various galleries there, including In Art, Stevenson, 8 Modern, Gallery Esteban, and a couple of others. Call 992-0400 for info, or better yet, just walk over to Delgado Street at 5 o'clock and go see the art. Monica Caden Fine Arts, I promise I'm going to get over there someday. 514A Alto Street. She's got sculpture, reception from 10 to 6 today, and I think she's also having a reception Saturday. Two Pairs Gallery in El Dorado on Caliente Road has watercolors by Deborah Odom Hutchinson. Reception 5:30 to 7:30 tonight if you're out in El Dorado and you want to go to an opening.
Two pears?
Yeah.
Like kings and deuces?
No, pears. Like you have
peaches
the fruit. And pears. Don't try to mess me up with my homonyms. That's one thing I never mess up. I get the cinnamons wrong a lot, but I don't get the other stuff wrong. They're always trying to throw me on the program.
I am?
Yes, you is. If you like, tonight, Michael Morgan is going to read and sign copies of Lost History, The Enduring Legacy of Muslim Scientists, Thinkers, and Artists. at 7 p.m. at Borders downtown on the Montezuma Avenue site.
And we actually had an interview with him on the radio. It aired last week, and it's also on the website, but it's on SantaFeRadioCafe.org under yesterday's show. So we did an interesting interview with him.
That's pretty good. How'd it go?
Good.
All right. I believe you. If you like, there's textile demonstrations with artists from the Española Valley Fiber Arts Center. And that's from 1 to 4 p.m. Sunday at the Museum of International Folk Art on Camino Lejo. It's by museum admission. It's going to be specifically about knitting. Do you knit?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
No, but I'm not. Southwest Seminars Native Voices Lecture Series has the Two Marias, a lecture by John Cassell at 6 p.m. Monday at the Hotel Santa Fe. You got to pay to get in. I don't know who the Two Marias are. Any guess? I wonder if it's like Maria Benitez and then that Maria...
The Virgin Mary?
No, the Maria who was the gal that played Pharaoh downtown off the near the Lenzic there. What was her name? Maria Tules? The poor woman who everybody thinks is a prostitute. And they have all these stories about her, how she saved New Mexico and was friendly with all the army officers and stuff. Wouldn't it be great to like have a seance and she would come back and tell the truth?
Yeah.
You don't sound too enthused. You sound all dubious. The Banded Geckos are playing Thursday night at Hyde Park Lodge on Hyde Park Road. That makes sense. Regular park fees apply. 7 p.m. That same night, by the way, Matt Brower, B-R-O-U-W-E-R, Christian folk singer-songwriter, he'll be performing at Borders at 7 o'clock, which is interesting because I thought they had the Socrates Cafe, but I guess they moved that to Wednesday nights at Borders. So that's that.
How about this? Small Dog Rescue is having an adoption at Teca 2 in San Busco this Saturday, tomorrow, the 25th of August, from noon until 3.
Teca 2. Don't they have like a happy hour now for dogs? With tail, doggy tail, pale ale or something?
Lord help us. I don't know. Maybe they do.
If you feel like swinging by some museums this weekend, besides El Rancho de los Calandrinas, the Georgia O'Keeffe still has Georgia O'Keeffe circling around Abstraction. As you know, it's the 10th anniversary of the O'Keeffe, and they got a lot of stuff going on. Elizabeth Cook Romero interviewed their director, George King, in today's PASA. The Museum of International Folk Art, which we mentioned earlier, has several shows like Multiple Visions, A Common Bond, which is a collection of toys and miniatures. They still have Home Altars, a recreation of Santera Maria Romero Cash's personal shrine. New Mexico Museum of Art downtown on Palos Avenue has Gustav Bauman, a Santa Fe legend. He's the guy that did those little puppets that come out at Christmas time. I like the little donkey and stuff. Also, The Art of New Mexico, How the West is Won, which is spelled O-N-E. Flight of Fancy is still running there. So they have a lot of shows at the New Mexico Museum of Art. And New Mexico residents, no charge on Sundays. Get out to the museums. Meanwhile, you want to go out of town, there's some stuff you can do. If you feel like going to Albuquerque, for example, the Albuquerque Museum of Art and History has the Light Cloud Collection of Native American Art through October 21st. They're down there on Mountain Road Northwest. The Indian Pueblo Cultural Center on 12th Street Northwest, I haven't been there yet, has Take a Bite Out of This, From Corn to Commodity. That's a multi-sensory exhibit which looks at the ways food and water help shape indigenous communities, with the accent, I guess, on corn. And the University of New Mexico Art Museum on the UNM campus has Landscapes Without Memory, photos by Joan Funk-Cuberetta, Drawn Closer, which is Authenticity and Anonymity. It's a group show. Wait, anonymity, does that mean nobody knows who you are?
Basically.
Oh, I wonder how I pull that off. What time is it?
8:57. It's almost 8:58, and it's just about time to go.
Well, there's music from Angel File. Read Craig Smith's column today. There's shows going on in Madrid. There's stuff happening everywhere. The PASA calendar is pretty complete. Check it out in the PASA Tiempo today. Well, I'm done.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. Robert Knott is the associate editor of the PASA Tiempo Friday Arts Supplement in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, every Friday. You're here every Friday speaking of the arts.
I wasn't here last week.
That's true, but you're here almost every Friday.
That's terrible to show up and you're not here.
I would say you didn't show up. I know you didn't show up because you knew I wasn't going to be here. And you were so organized, far more organized than yours truly. And therefore, people should send their press releases to Robert.
No, they should send them to both of us.
That's true.
If they want it in the PASA calendar, send it to me. And if they want it just on the air, send it to her.
Send it to both of us. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, yes.
Yes, I was listening too.
My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're also podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want to listen. Archived shows, new shows, old shows, medium shows. Thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Laurel Reynolds for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz a la carte. What are you humming and singing about?
It's a small world. After all, it's a small, 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 small world.
Robert Knott, you sing beautifully.
Thanks, lady. I'll sing in a couple of weeks for our third-year anniversary.
That's right. You'll be here next week, right?
I'll show up for that day, too.
Okay, we're having our
that's around the 15th or the 14th.
Yeah, we're having our third-year anniversary, and I'm having my fourth-year anniversary of the show coming up in about a week or two.
We should dress special for that day so people can see what we're wearing.
So people can see how great we look on the radio. Isn't that nice about radio? You don't have to dress up.
That's the whole thing. If anybody ever met me, they'd never listen to the show.
Yes, they would.
Imagination does everything.
Once you shaved off your mustache.
I don't want to see. I knew you were going to get me on that.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Have a wonderful weekend. Be happy. Be peaceful. Drive carefully. Don't drink and drive. Wear your seatbelt. Be nice to your dog. And be nice to Robert Knott.
I'm going to try.
Hasta la vista.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
Ciao.